From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 19th day of January, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Gary Schnicki, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, has updated the crop insurance decision tool. You can find that on the FarmDoc website. That's at farmdoc.illinois.edu. It includes ECO. He and I will have a discussion about the premiums that producers can find there and how they can get an upper hand on what's coming by that March 15 deadline to make the crop insurance decision. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast and talk about the agricultural energies. We'll discuss the energies with Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Nearby March corn for the day finished at $5.26 a bushel. That was down 5.5 cents for the day. The May contract 6.5 lower at $5.28 and a quarter. In December, your new crop corn at $4.55 finished a nickel lower. Soybeans, a nearby March contract, 31 lower at $13.85 and three quarters. The loss in the May, 31.5 cents, and it finished at $13.83 and a quarter. November beans down 9 at $11.88 and three quarters. Bean meal futures at $450.50 per a ton, down $12.70. And bean oil for the day at $41.70, 15 cents lower on the afternoon. Wheat futures soft red nearby March at $6.72 and a quarter, 3 and a quarter lower. And the hard red at $6.44 finished down a penny for the afternoon. Quick look at the livestock side. Nearby cattle futures finished at $113.32.5, up 55 cents for the day. That in the February, April, $1.15 higher at $119.35. Live cattle then feeder cattle for the day at $136.80, 97.5 cents higher. And the March, April at $139.60, up $1.30 per 100 pounds. That in the April again. Lean hog, $66.47.5, down $1.45 in the February, and the April at $71.42.5, down $1.22.5 for the day. Gold futures on the afternoon finished the nearby contract at $1,840.40, up $10.50 for the afternoon. And in the energies, the crude oil for the day at $52.93, up 50 cents, rather 57 cents a barrel. The diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.59 and 8 cents per gallon. That's just about unchanged on the afternoon. And gasoline at $1.53 and 6 cents, unchanged as well. Wayne Nelson is now here from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, to take a look at, I guess it is a turnaround Tuesday, from the long run. I guess it is a long run now, Wayne. Kind of a rough day in Chicago, isn't it?
Yeah, we refer to it as Terrible Tuesday today over here in New Market. This hasn't been exactly a kind day to most farmers, and that's for sure. But they've had some really good days and good months here since August, so it's been okay that way, and we still got some pretty good prices. But I think sort of the virus outbreak in Hebei or Hebei or however they say it, province over in China, causing the severe lockdown, weighed a little bit on the bean price today. And we saw the funds sort of exiting a number of funds of corn and bean positions today. The only one that they didn't exit much was the wheat position, and that's just because of the shortage of wheat available for export in the world.
Yeah, and so there was that news story over the weekend that the wheat auction out of China was kind of an interesting event, with mostly feeders trying to buy wheat rather than millers, and that came out of their stock. So they're short of supplies there. So that supported the market, as you said. However, just not enough to keep things rolling. And we had soybeans down pretty sharply. Corn followed suit, I guess, on this day. Rainfall in South America, too.
Yes, we had some good rains down across Argentina and lots of parts of Brazil. And it looks like, you know, that really upped their percentages of things looking good down there. And I think that we saw some raising of their estimates of what their harvest could be after these rains or during these rains when they were forecast. Now, we do look for Argentina to turn dry the next 6 to 7 days, but there's going to be some areas of Brazil that actually need to turn a little dry to have harvest progress.
What's your expectation for the rest of the week?
Well, I think, you know, we're going to be looking very close at moving averages and the open interest here. We've got an awfully big set of funds long out here, people that are, you know, the speculators that way. And I think if we break some key support on some of the moving averages and we see the open interest declining all the way down to get there, well, we could see a little more sell-off. 85 was in a number in the March beans, and we closed at 85 and three quarters. So, you know, we stuck there, we held some support, but will it be enough to hold overnight and tomorrow morning?
Yeah, overnight trade is light volume, and sometimes those things get tripped, and then the AI black boxes begin to trade, and that turns ugly really fast.
Yeah, and it's one thing we have to watch, and that's one of the reasons that we're not a real fan of overnight trading, but it's here to stay, and it's going to go on, and we'll have that. Now, in past months, why we've seen the overnight trade actually push things up a little bit and try the upper limits, will we see it now turn around and try the lower limits?
Now, I hate to say it this way, but given today's losses, especially for the beans, the producers with old crop, do they need to be wary at this point that maybe even with the losses, it might be a good time?
You know, these are tremendous prices compared to what we were looking at back in harvest. And I think that if you've got a lot of stocks like that, everybody should have been moving a little bit as they went along. I know that over here, there was 3 to 6 hour lines last Friday to dump corn. And so I know a lot of the farmers have been pushing some out. And I think these are still levels higher than they were just a week and a half ago.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by agricultural economist Gary Schnitke here on campus in Urbana-Champaign. Gary, thanks for being with us for the Farm Doc Daily website. You have penned a usual article, but there will be some changes for this year as it relates to the tool, the premium calculator that you and others put together for crop insurance, a decision that farmers must make by the 15th day of March of this year for corn and soybeans. Can you tell me about the tool and the changes?
Yeah, so the biggest changes are that we added ECO to our tool. Our premium calculator will give you premiums for RP, YP, ARP and the area yield plans, but we added ECO this year so that you can look at the combinations of taking RP or another combo product and combining that with SCO and ECO.
How is it that you can make the premium calculator work before final prices are set? That happens over the month of February.
Yeah, that's a good question. So right now, all these premiums are projections because we do not know what the projected price is. If you get our premium calculator right now, you will get a $4.50 projected price for corn and $11.50 for soybeans. We looked at the futures contracts, and that's pretty close to what they are now. By the way, that $4.50 for corn makes a big difference in the premiums. Last year, you were looking at something closer to four, and going up to $4.50 will increase the premiums
dramatically.
It would cause the 85% premium to go up about $2 per acre. So, I don't know if you call that large or not, but $2 an acre at the 85% coverage level for the LaSalle County case.
All right. So it uses the enhanced coverage option as well. So let's walk through this. First, is it online or downloadable?
So this is a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet, so it's downloadable. And you download it. It's a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. You put in your county and crop, and then it will bring in some defaults that are pretty close to the yields that are representative of that county, and you'll get premiums. You can dial it in closer if you want to, but The thing that is new this year is obviously SECO. And just let me give you a feel for what that means. In LaSalle County, which is our example, we have an $18.70 premium for RP 85% at the enterprise level. You can take that 85% and add SCO, which will give you a county level coverage from 85 to 86%, only 1% increase there for 76 cents per acre. You can get county level coverage from 86% up to 90%. So if you wanted to, you could have your 85% RP policy and then get a band of county coverage. On top of that, you would buy ECO and SCO, and that would cost you the ECO portion of that for the 90% would cost you $8.02, and plus the 76 cents for SCO, and you're close to $8.80 for that coverage from 85% to 90, that county band.
You've done some work on the return on, I'll call it ROI here, return on investment, but is it something that producers are likely to be able to take advantage of or that will trigger if crop insurance is triggered?
Yeah, so those policies, those 90 and particular there, you also have the 95% coverage level. Over time, those ECOs will tend to pay out more than they pay in, but there will be many years when it doesn't pay at all. So you really do have to look at the premium. And so let's take that 90% coverage level. You for that extra band, you're raising your premium from 1870 to 2748. Is that a expense that you want to have? And in for roughly 40% of the time that ECO band's going to trigger. So that'll give you a feel.
What about the supplemental coverage option?
So the supplemental coverage option takes you from 85 to 86. That's at 76 in that 85%. ECO then takes you from 86% to 90%. That's that 802. You could also use ECO to take you from 86 to 95%. And that in this county's case would cost $24.04. So you would more than double the premium.
So, what are you suggesting to producers, not on what they should purchase, but how they should use this crop insurance or premium calculator?
Yeah, so most people are at the 80 and 85% coverage level in northern and central Illinois. I would not lower that RP coverage level you much, but if you want to, you can get an extra band above that. This year might be a reasonably good year to do that because we're probably going to be setting some pretty high projected prices. So provide you some pretty large coverage, pretty high coverage. So I would not lower my RP policy, but I might add that 90 or 95% band, and you just have to look at that premium and make that decision.
Does harvest protection make any difference?
Yes, it would. So let me just give you a feel here. So RP, that ECO band for RP would cost $24 from 95% to 86%. You could cut that down to $13.84, or cut it in half about by losing RPHPE. To do that, though, you also have to take RP at the har with the harvest price exclusion on your underlying product as well. So that might be something to consider as well.
In that case, you're betting against a short crop.
Yes, you would be. I mean, yes, you would be. So, the drought year in 2012, you would wish you had had RP in that those cases. With the harvest price option, which would be RP, not the harvest price exclusion,
Anything else?
I would consider still take stay at RP and then think about adding. If you want to, it might be a good year, but you're going to add in Central Illinois $8 to get to the 90% premium and roughly $20, 20 each dollars to get to the 95%. I would look at ECO first. SCO is going to be the relatively inexpensive portion of the whole thing.
So RP, buy ECO up to what you're comfortable with and include the SCO then. Hey, thanks, Gary.
You're welcome.
That's Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's take a quick look at the agricultural weather forecast for the growing regions across the planet. Don Day was called away. We'll start in Mato Grosso, Brazil, where over the next 8 days, including today, rainfall is in their weather forecast. Today, they're just a high of 78 degrees. The low there, 70, but they'll climb to the mid-80s by Thursday of this week and then to the mid-90s by Tuesday of next week. Again, rainfall each and every day is possible, although it will be light. It will remain humid in Mato Grosso, and their lows over that time frame will be about 70 degrees each and every day for the next 8 evenings. In Rondônia, Brazil, 85 today with some rain. That rain will stretch all the way through next Tuesday. It'll be light, mostly coming in the afternoon, expectedly, with lows in the low 70s to upper 60s for that part of Brazil. In Goiás, rainfall today, maybe some sunshine tomorrow, but then again, rain, overcast, humid, all the way through Tuesday of next week. Their highs will be in the upper 80s with lows in the mid to upper 60s. Mato Grosso do Sul, Brazil. Rainfall and humid right now, 75 degrees there and holding. They'll run at 75 to 85 degrees through Friday and then jump up to nearly 90 degrees for the next few days. Their lows will remain right at 70 degrees through that time frame. And again, rainfall all the way through next Tuesday, though it should be light across portions of Mato Grosso do Sul. That's in the southern part of Brazil, in the northwestern state of Tocantins, Brazil. A high of 89 today with rainfall. Tomorrow rainfall, Thursday rainfall, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And that'll continue all the way through that period. Their highs in the upper 80s and their lows right at 70 degrees. A quick look at what's been happening in Argentina. A little warmer there, 94 and sunshine today, 97, 98, and 100 degrees in Rosario on Friday of this week. Though they'll drop precipitously down into the low 60s to the low 70s through that time frame overnight. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, mid-90s for the highs, some rainfall, and mid-70s for the lows. Cordoba, Argentina, 90 in sunshine through the Friday time frame, dropping back to 59, 60, 63, and 66 for the lows overnight. And they'll stay in that mid-90s Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Rainfall may be in the forecast there. And low 70s will be their overnight temperatures. And that's a quick look at the growing regions in South America. On this Tuesday, let's check the agricultural energies as usual. This day, Dave Chatterton joins us from Strategic Farm Marketing from Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Dave. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about ethanol over time for you, usage, and what it really means going forward, you think?
Yeah, Todd, and thanks for having us. Ethanol prices have been rallying here, as we've seen, in the gasoline and in the oil complex. Unfortunately, we've seen corn rallying at a quicker pace, and the margins continue to be under pressure. If we go back and look at, what happened last year with the COVID restrictions and the gasoline demand, that gasoline demand is still trying to catch back up. We're still more or less, we'll call it 10% plus or minus behind where we were at this particular time a year ago, and that's been the case here for a while. We haven't had a lot of luck closing up the last of that gap, and probably won't until we get, out of these restrictions, and maybe we never will. That's resulted in, when we look at corn use for ethanol, we're down in the marketing year to date, we're down about 150 million bushels. That's about 8% year over year. The USDA is currently projecting, in their balance sheets, even as of the January report here last week, that we'll see an increase year over year of 2%. So we're going to have a lot of work in the back half of the year to try and make up for that. We've seen some plants, running at what we'll call hot idle or running about as low a capacity as they can, 60, 65%. We've seen other plants that have closed down. We probably have a few more of those to go, and it continues to be a little bit of a struggle. In the corn balance sheet, it's kind of helping to offset maybe that higher export expectation, but at the end of the day, this represents 35% of our balance sheet. You know, overall demand is ethanol, and, you know, we need to have a more positive picture would certainly be helpful.
Yeah, so you don't sound convinced that the USDA number is correct on usage, at least for domestic travel gasoline supplies for ethanol. Might it be made up in the export market?
It certainly could be. We just don't see a quick remedy to that right now. Certainly the demand is picking up, particularly in Brazil. We think that China and Asia also have an export outlet if that becomes the case. So I'm not going to rule that out for the second half of the year, Todd. I just think it's a situation where right now that target looks to be a little bit on the high side. There will certainly, you know, hopefully be some economic recovery in the second half of the year, not only in the U.S. and for driving and gasoline demand here, but also globally, which would drive that demand for ethanol on the export side. So things could certainly turn up. We're just going to, you know, we'll keep an eye on things as we continue to go forward. We're only about 25% through the crop year so far. So certainly it could change. I think there is a warning signal here that we need to kind of keep an eye on.
So what kind of working number are you using for ethanol grind in that case?
So the USDA on their January reports, I took that number up there. They were at just over 5 billion in the December report. They're now at 49.50. We think that number could continue to shrink, probably by something around 200-250 million bushels. That would put us down into that 4.7 to 4.750 type of a range. Initially, there are some projections that we've seen that have been more aggressive than that. I think we're comfortable in that sense right now. And in general, to the balance sheet, we see for corn, we see that the export number probably coming up almost a like amount, and it's basically a little bit of an offset at this particular point. But like I said, it's something that will develop here through the crop year and that will need to be monitored.
One other issue to take up, I think, propane at this time. What are your discussion points?
Yeah, been a very interesting market for propane. If you go back and look at where we were, you know, even at Thanksgiving time, the market bottomed out just that week before Thanksgiving. We've essentially doubled the market since then. We're over a dollar for Conway wholesale propane, which is the Midwest supply feed, and that's the first time that we've done that since 2014. So we're essentially at seven-year highs here on propane, and very interesting. If you look at the propane comparison to crude oil, we're trading at about 84% the value of crude oil, and again, that's about the highest we've seen in the last 6 years. So it's a very interesting market. The primary catalyst here, the culprit behind these higher prices, has not been a cold winter in the U.S. In fact, it's been a cold winter in a big part of Asia where they've had some record cold. So these export demand numbers have just been phenomenal. They're up about 40% year over year from where we were at this point last year. So the market is very firm at this point. We've seen kind of record draws in the propane inventories from the peak in the fall to where we're at to this point in the year. And of course, those project lower. So it's not necessarily that we're going to run out of propane, but it's been a very quick rise in this market and, you know, something that's been very hot. I think in terms of looking at, you know, where we're going to be at for agricultural use, whether that's irrigation or grain drying next year, it's a wait and see attitude. It's a hands off type of a play at this particular point from a price perspective, Todd.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's Dave Chatterton of Strategic Farm Marketing right here in Champaign, Illinois. He joined us on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.